As we walk the path of the Passion today, we get a firsthand account and look at what Jesus himself experienced as he went to the cross. What a lonely experience it must have been. Not only was he experiencing the physical pains of being beaten and scourged and crucified, there's also the pain of being abandoned, misunderstood, and utterly scorned by all those who he loved. Have you ever had that experience of feeling like you're in a jam and it feels like you're the only one? It's me against the world. Have you ever had that sense of aloneness? Especially if it's a threatening situation, one where we are feeling maybe fearful for our lives. It can be quite comforting even just to have one friend who's there with us, one person, or one friendly face in the crowd, or one voice who might speak on our behalf or act on our behalf. If we reflect on the people who are witnesses in the Passion today, in the Passion of John, some of those who give Jesus this small consolation are listed. Chief among them would be his mother, or Mother Mary, the beloved disciple John, Mary Magdalene, and Mary of Clopas, Clopas' wife. So there's four people who openly and fearlessly came forward to stand at the foot of the cross with Jesus in this moment of great sorrow, of great pain, of great agony. Nobody else was there. No one else is singled out in John's gospel. It's an image for us to reflect on and to maybe think of as the church. There was a day not too far from this when Jesus was entering the city to great crowds, praising him and giving thanks, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But how quickly that passed. From all of those crowds, four people now have the courage to stand with Jesus. There was a time not too long ago when the church, the Catholic Church, was respected and she was dignified, to some degree at least, a voice that many people, even non-Catholics, took note of and looked for guidance from her. How far we have fallen. It appears that the nosedive still is in progress. What's left? People have disassociated themselves from the church in a major way in recent history. Many have rejected Christ's teachings, Christ himself, his church, and it seems there's only a small percentage of Jesus' followers who are remaining faithful to him, openly at his side. We can talk about what that experience of abandonment must be. So we shouldn't follow Jesus because everyone else is. That's true. But we should follow Jesus because we love him. We've come to know him. We want to serve him. We believe what he has taught us. This notion of sort of taking stock of the situation, getting a pulse on how things are going to turn out, we shouldn't use that as our basis for following Jesus. That's disingenuous. There's another group that's listed in the gospel who are friendly to Jesus' cause. They remain hidden. Joseph of Arimathea, for one, and Nicodemus are named as secret disciples. They fear the Jews, and therefore they privately accept Jesus' views and even have the courage, once he has been killed, to go to Pilate and to provide for his burial. Perhaps they're figuring they can show this one sign of respect to a man that they admired. I wonder how many hidden disciples there are in the church today. How many people are out there who profess Christ in a private way? Are there those who agree with Jesus' teachings, admire, even believe who he says he is? After all, we have, in a sense, an advantage knowing how things have turned out, how history unfolds. How many Christians remain hidden today out of fear? Joseph and Nicodemus probably feared for their lives, or at least they were uncertain of how openly supporting Jesus would have affected their social status in the Jewish community. So we can ask ourselves, what is it for us? What is our reason for remaining hidden? I know it seems perhaps a little unfair to pick on the hidden disciples. After all, aren't they doing better than many of the other characters in the story? Judas, the other 10 apostles, the high priest, the Roman soldiers, Pilate, the crowds. This is often our temptation as Christians. We look the wrong place when we compare. We, instead of looking to what Christ asks of us or what he needs of us, we look out into the world. Instead of looking to our mother who models for us what we are to do, or looking to the saints who show us how to live, we look out into the world and we say, I think I'm doing all right. I think I'm doing better than all those people over there. Who would we stand with at the crucifixion scene? Where would we be standing? Would we be in the open at Jesus' side, disregarding the danger or the consequences of what it means to be openly a supporter of Jesus? Would we be hidden, a hidden disciple agonizing over this desire to be with Jesus, and yet at the same time struggling with, how are people going to view me if I openly show Jesus my love for him? Or maybe we aren't sure where we would be. When we take our cue from the world of how we respond to Jesus, it's likely that our response will remain guarded, that it will remain hidden. Our discipleship will be stifled in a way. Our support of Jesus will be measured, weighed, perhaps calculated. How can I show Jesus that I love him and care for him in such a way that I don't receive the wrath of the world? I want to attain salvation, but at the same time, keeping myself from being ostracized by the world, of having my life, my reputation, my future prospects compromised because of Jesus and my relationship with him. It's an agonizing and troubled way of living. It's not easy to try to balance this balance that never seems to quite balance out. We don't know for sure what happens to Nicodemus and Joseph. One wonders if they gained the courage needed after the Passion to support Jesus openly. What did it cost them if they did support him in that way? It's difficult not to base our support for Jesus on how it affects the rest of our lives. That's the difference between the three Marys and John at the foot of the cross and those others who remained hidden followers of Jesus. These four were focused on Jesus. What does he need? What is he asking of me? What would he want me to do? Their response was based on that. The hidden disciple is always keeping one eye focused on the world, trying to arrange the most advantageous view of how I'm viewed by the world and how I'm viewed by Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. Being a hidden disciple, someone who loves Jesus, but does so in private, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. Being a hidden disciple is not worthless. It's a valuable thing in as much as it could be a step towards openly giving ourselves to Christ and living for Him with our whole being. Now, the risk is that we might think a hidden discipleship is good enough. We might decide being a hidden disciple is my vocation. We can talk ourselves out of being more open with who our Lord is and the way we live our lives and the way we witness to the world around us. Perhaps you've heard the saying, burn your ships. It's a sort of idea that we are openly supporting something. We give our whole selves to it. We commit to it. There's no turning back. This is a much more powerful way of living as a disciple of Jesus. He can do great works through those who give themselves wholly and totally to a life of discipleship. Remaining a hidden disciple will stifle our ability to follow Jesus. At some point, we need to take that step of going to stand at the foot of the cross, to place our fate in Jesus' hands. So where do we stand? It's no shame to be hidden. It's no shame to have run and fled the field. Look at the majority of the apostles. They fled. But remember that they eventually did turn back. They had the courage to proclaim Christ, to live for Christ. It took them time, it took them experiences to be able to do that. It wasn't something they did the first time. But they did eventually turn back to Christ and live for Him. And unless we are willing to do the same at some point in our lives, we can't stand with our Blessed Mother. We can't stand with the saints. Jesus was willing to die for you and for me. What are we willing to do for Jesus? Today, as we venerate the cross, we might ask the Lord to give us the grace needed to stand with Him, to stand at the foot of the cross.